Okay, ladies, let's just review what we're up to. If you remember, we had a halacha of sukkah agave sukkah, that if you have a lower sukkah and an upper sukkah, so the lower sukkah is kosher and the upper sukkah is, the lower sukkah is puzzle, the upper sukkah is kosher, right? That's the halacha of sukkah agave sukkah. The Gemara, however, described that sometimes they're both kosher, sometimes they're both pasul, sometimes lower one is kosher, upper one is pasul, sometimes upper one is kosher, lower one is pasul. That's what the Gemara said. Testament Bay is going over to Yoram and Aleph. The big chiddush in that case was the case number three, which is the situation that the lower sukkah is going to be kosher and the upper sukkah is going to be pasul. And the Gemara explains that we're talking about a case that the lower sukkah is silasa meruba mechamasa, and the upper sukkah is chamasa meruba mitzilasa. So therefore, the lower sukkah is kosher because it has more shade than sun. The upper sukkah is pasul because it is more sun than shade. That is basically what the Gemara said. All is grand and amazing. However, we noted that Rashi has a razzle-dazzle position. Right? Rashi says that when I say the lower sukkah is kosher and the upper sukkah is pasul, that has to be discussing the situation where the upper sukkah is not above 20 amos. Were the upper sukkah to be above 20 amos, so the upper sukkah would pasul the lower sukkah. That is Rashi's shita. Tosfos on Daf Tesamid Beis, in the lengthy discussion, Tosfos says, "My dear Rashi, kind of amazing, but like you're dead wrong, because schach above 20 amos is not considered schach pasul, and because schach above 20 amos is not considered schach pasul, it will not invalidate the lower sukkah." Right? That's what Tosfos said. Last time we learned, we commented, well, let's just analyze this Tosis carefully. Because Tosis began his conversation, and Tosis said that if the lower sukkah is more shade than sun, nothing on the planet could passel it. If the lower sukkah is tzilas mechamasa, so that makes it kosher forever. La'olam, la'ome olamim, it's always going to be kosher. The only time that I could have a discussion is when I do not have enough shade with the lower sukkah, and the upper sukkah is necessary to create the requisite amount of shade. That's the only time when there's a conversation going on. Okay, wonderful. If that's the case, the Maharsha explains, when Tosis tells me that the upper sukkah is not schach pasul, even though it's above 20, what Tosis means is the following situation. The lower sukkah is not shady enough. The lower sukkah is not silasim ruvim chamasa on its own. The lower sukkah requires the shade of the upper sukkah to create that requisite amount of shade. And in that situation, says Taisus, we're talking about a case where the lower sukkah is not silasim ruvim chamasa. The upper sukkah is above 20 amos. Still, Tosfos says it's kosher, it's grand, because according to Tosfos, you can have a combination of lower sukkah and upper sukkah when the lower sukkah is too sunny, and the upper sukkah is above 20. They will still combine and create one good kosher sukkah. That's what Tosfos said. Tosfos is understood by the Maharsha. Right? This is all what we did last time. Nachon? However, we commented that the Ritva, Rabbi Yom Tov Ibn Alashbili, somebody like that, so the Ritva disagrees with Taisus, and the Ritva writes, it's over here on Tes Amid Beis. Did you have a chance to look at the Ritva, anyone?
Yeah, me and Zoe spent.
You
Extensively,
him.
extensively.
Rachel, did you have a chance to take a look at the Ritva or not so much?
No, I was tight on time, so I skipped to the Gemara. Hopefully that wasn't a bad choice.
Okay. I mean, we'll just spend like 2 minutes on this Ritva, then I want to go to the next Gemara. But basically, here it goes, ladies. The Ritva writes that when I say that the schach above 20 amos is not schach puzzle, that means that the schach above 20 amos does not invalidate the kosher sukkah underneath. But according to the Ritva, the schach over 20 amos cannot join forces with the lower sukkah and make it kosher. The Ritva holds.
No, I'm just congratulating me and Zoe that we actually.
You got right
past that he was saying awesome. That.
Hey, that's what the Ritva says. I can read you the lines. The Ritva writes, "V'hashta lahayshi tasa." It's got to be that the lower sukkah has enough shade on its own without the assistance of the upper sukkah. And that's what the Ritva says. So what we have over here is an interesting situation. Tosu says the upper sukkah over 20 is even going to combine with the lower sukkah to create one gigundous kosher sukkah. That's Tosus. The Ritva, however, says no. The upper sukkah cannot combine with the lower sukkah to make the lower sukkah kosher. The only thing is that the upper sukkah, if it's above 20, does not invalidate the lower sukkah. That's basically a machlokes between Tosfos and the Ritva. Does anyone want to take a stab at trying to explain this conceptually? How come, according to Tosfos, the upper sukkah can combine with the lower sukkah? Whereas, according to the Ritva, the upper sukkah cannot combine with the lower sukkah to create a situation of tzilas and rubin chamasa. According to the Ritva, the two do not combine.
So I think this has to go back with how they see keva, maybe.
Okay.
And maybe
so far so good.
So because we talked about this last time. So we were thinking the Ritva probably feels that it can't be greater than 20 amos because you have to be able to see the schach. So if you're not able to see the schach, then it can't be combined. I think that's where we're going.
I mean, you're thinking along the right lines. I just think that you kind of are saying it backwards. So okay. Let's go slowly. There are three shitos on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. We have the shita of Rabba, Reb Zeira, and Rava. Rabba says the reason why schach over 20 is no good is because you have to notice the schach. L'man yedu doroseichem. Reb Zeira says the schach over 20 is no good because the sukkah has to get shade from the schach. If it's above 20, you're getting shade from the walls, not from the schach. Rava says a sukkah over 20 is no good because it is diras keva, not diras arai. Three shitos. Now, if Reb Zeira is correct, that schach over 20 does not give shade to the sukkah underneath. So presumably the schach over 20 is completely meaningless in this conversation. It can't passel anything underneath. It's meaningless. Schach over 20 doesn't give any shade for the stuff underneath. Nothing to talk about. However, the conversation that we could have, and maybe, by the way, that's what Rashi means, perhaps. Let's strike that from the record, ladies. But schach over 20 cannot do anything. It does not give shade. According to Rava, schach over 20 is a problem because it is diras keva. if it's diras keva, so then Svara would tell me that it is really puzzle. And Svara would say that you cannot use that diras keva schach on top to be machshir the sukkah underneath. The Ritva is working within the position of Rava, that schach over 20 is a problem because it's diras keva. And if it's a problem because it's diras keva, it's inherently problematic. And it cannot combine with the lower sukkah to make it kosher. However, Tosfos says that upper sukkah can combine with lower sukkah. Because according to Tosfos, the problem with the sukkah over 20 is that you don't know that you're in schach. If I have some of the schach under 20, so I see that schach, I know that I am l'man yedu darosechem. I know that I am in a sukkah. Once that's the case, I know I'm in the sukkah. That's great, right? I know that I'm in the sukkah. It's chacham ruba mechamasa. It's silasim ruba mechamasa because of the upper stuff, the schach over 20. But still, I don't need all the schach to be recognizable in order to realize that I'm in a sukkah. Even if some of the schach is under 20, that's good enough. So I would contend, and again, this is not me. If you read the footnotes, last year, so Rav Moshe Lichtenstein came to yeshiva, and he had like a conversation with the guys about the way to learn. So one of the guys asked him, is there value in all these new svarim that come out? So Moshe Lichtenstein says he doesn't think there's much value in like just having a better girsa and a rishon, but he says if the new sefer has footnotes, the footnotes are really useful, which I found like a really interesting take. But in this case, it's actually true. If you read the footnotes in this Mosada Rav Kook Ritva, you know, the standard beige Ritva. So the Mosada Rav Kook Ritva, the footnotes are basically saying that the Machlokas Tosfos and the Ritva as to whether the Schach over 20 can combine with the Schach under 20, right? Again, in the case where the lower sukkah is chamasa ruba mitzilasa, it only becomes tzilasa ruba mechamasa because of the upper schach. Taisa says that's still okay. The Ritva says it's not good. The machlokis might depend on whether I hold like Rabba or Rava. Because according to Rabba, once I have some schach under 20, that's grand. I know that I'm in the sukkah. According to... So that would be Tosfos. It's okay. There's another condition. It has to be more shade than sun, but the upper sukkah can combine for that. According to Rava, however, the upper schach is inherently problematic because it's diras keva and therefore cannot combine with the lower stuff. So that was what I planned on mentioning last week, but we didn't get there, so we finished it up this week. Tanya, I didn't have a chance to welcome you. Thank you for joining us. I hope the meeting was okay.
Thank you. Ordinarily, I would have left a meeting early, but they needed me there.
Understood. Any questions, comments? Should we begin the next Gemara? Chevra, thumbs up. Next Gemara. Oh, Rachel, it looks like you have a question.
Sorry, that wasn't a thumbs up.
I mean, it's live
but finger. It was close.
Yeah. Okay.
So what the Ritva says, though, he says that the schach will not mevatel it's underneath what's underneath it, because it's not like the schach itself has any issues. It's because of its height.
Correct.
But we're saying that the Ritva believes the reason why the schach can't be so greater than 20 amos is because of diras keva, and that invalidates the schach in and of itself.
You're asking, you see, the Ritva holds, just to flesh it out, the Ritva holds that if the bottom sukkah has more shade than sun, so if the top sukkah is over 20, the top sukkah will not invalidate the bottom sukkah. It cannot passel a kosher bottom sukkah. However, if the bottom sukkah would not be kosher on its own, and it needs the schach of the upper sukkah to create more shade than sun, so according to the Ritva, it does not combine. Now, the Ritva's shita is that schach over 20, the schach is not puzzle. The walls are a problem. Right? It's a psul defanos, not a psul schach. But even so, the Ritva is going to say, I will not allow that schach that's hovering above 20 amos, I won't allow it to combine with what I have at the bottom, because that schach above 20 amos is, I don't think the schach is puzzle, but because the walls are puzzle, so consequently that schach becomes unusable schach to make a kosher sukkah underneath. You're right. We're trying to thread a needle over here, right? It's not puzzle on its own, but it cannot combine to be kosher. Right? That's really what the Ritva is saying. Why would that be true? So I think according to Rava, it makes a lot of sense. Because what Rava says is that schach over 20 is not really a puzzle schach, it's puzzle walls. It's diras keva, right? The walls are puzzle. But even so, because those walls are puzzle, so it does not allow that schach to combine with the lower level schach to create a kosher situation. It does require more explanation, you're right. This is sort of surface level still. I'm not getting it completely, but we're doing the best we can.
Isn't it? It's more a question, though, of can whatever the schach is on the upper sukkah serve as schach at all? Because if you say the upper sukkah is pasul, then for whatever reason, like is something just inherently schach, or does it need to have some kind of like quality? Does it need to be beyond providing shade? Like, if you have something that's like an invalid sukkah, but the stuff on top could serve as schach, is it still schach in that case?
If I have an invalid sukkah.
Right. So our upper one in this case is invalid.
In other words, the object lying on top of the invalid sukkah is schach. Does it retain its schach status?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the question of schach over 20.
Right. And it seems like the Ritva says no.
Well, the Ritva says kind of, sort of, a little bit. In other words, the Ritva says that upper schach over 20 is not so puzzle that it invalidates the lower sukkah. If I'd have a tree,
yeah,
it would invalidate it. But even so, it's not kosher insofar as it cannot combine with the shady lower sukkah to create a full-fledged halachic sukkah.
Yeah, I mean, when Rachel and I were working on this in Havrida, we said it's not like tuma. It's not like it spreads and like infects your lower schach or anything. It's just a question of is it usable or not.
That's right. That's a good way of saying it. It still requires a little more explanation, but I think we began the conversation. Okay. Should we move on to the next sugya? That's a yes. Let's go. So the Gemara tells me on Yud Amud Aleph, it's 1, 2, 3, it's 9 lines in the top of Yud Amud Aleph. So we have a halacha that sukkah, tachas ha-sukkah, upper one is kosher, low one is pasul. The question is, and Rashi formulates the question this way, how do you know when it's a sukkah tachas sukkah, and how do you know when it's just very thick schach? Right? I could have a bundle of schach that goes up 5 feet in the air, no? Abraham Lincoln's hat, orthos schach. It goes all the way up there. But that's still one thing of schach, right? At what point do I say that thing which you have up there is not just one thing of schach, but rather it's a sukkah tachas sukkah. Obviously, there's some space between them. Okay, grand, right? If it's just one on top of the other, no space, it's just schach. Grand. But how much space makes it like it's a sukkah tachas a sukkah? So that's the kash in the Gemara. Kama yehei bein sukkah lo sukkah utehei tachtona psula. How much space is there to invalidate the lower sukkah? So there are three shitos. Rav Huna says one tefach. Shekem matzinu ba'ohal le'tuma tefach. Ditnan tefach on tefach berum tefach. Maybe es hatuma v'chotit b'fnei hatuma. We actually encountered this halacha a couple months ago. But the din is that let's say I have a board. The board is on top of a table. And there's a little bit of tuma on one side. I have a bone, an etzem kisaora, a bone the size of a barley. It's tiny. If there's one tefach of the board on top of it, so it is mevi es hatuma, meaning that the bone, which is tame over here, brings the tuma to the other area underneath it. No? The tuma spreads beneath that entire piece of wood. If there is one tefach, it's mevi es hatuma, and it's also chotzeit b'fnei hatuma. Once it's an ohel, one tefach is the definition of an ohel for tuma, so the stuff on top of it is not a problem. Right? The Gemara tells me in Brachos that midalgim hayinu al gabe aronos, that they used to like jump and do dances on top of coffins, because the coffin has a space of a tefach. Once there's a space of a tefach, so memela, it's considered a contained ohel, and the stuff on top of it is not tamei. So if you're a kohen, you could stand on top of this coffin, because the corpse inside the coffin, there's one tefach between the corpse and the coffin top. It's a contained ohel, so the tumah remains in that area. However, if it's not a tefach by a tefach, so in that case, it's not mevi es hatumah, and it's not chotetz b'fnei hatumah. If it's not one tefach, so the tumah on this side will not contaminate the item on this side. But it also is not chotetz b'fnei hatumah. This is a halacha called tumah ritzutza, squashed tumah. Squashed tumah is ola ad l'rakia. It goes all the way, all the way, all the way up, no? Because it's squashed tumah. Right? I don't know if we spoke about this, but years ago, they found an issue that all the flights leaving Eretz Yisrael flew over a cemetery in Chulon. Right? We spoke about this, correct, Tanya? Right? It flies, so we'll just say very quickly, it flies over a cemetery in Chulon, and the question is a Kohen allowed to fly to and from Israel? It happens that JFK, half of the flights go over a cemetery in Queens also. So one of the Talmidei Chachamim said, well, it's not such a problem, because when they put a corpse in a coffin, there is a tefach between the dead guy and the top of the coffin. So therefore the tomb is completely contained. So if the Kohen is flying over it, no problem. Well, there is a problem, because it becomes tumah ritzutza over time. Because when you bury a body, you put a lot of dirt on top of the body, and you put rocks on top, and you fill it in. And very often, I don't want to burst your bubble, very often the top of the coffin caves in, and therefore the tumah becomes squashed tumah, and squashed tumah goes all the way up ad l'rakia, no? And therefore, if I'm now flying in an airplane, I can become tamei. That's why there are like all these memes about Kohanim sitting on airplanes wearing a plastic bag on top of them, no? To somehow solve the issue of tumah. That's this din, right? Rav Huna is invoking this Mishnah in Ahalos, that if you want to know how much space has to be between upper sukkah and lower sukkah to make a situation of sukkah agabe sukkah, he says one tefach, because one tefach has the halacha of an ohel, in Hilchos Tumah. In Meseches Ohalos has a din of an Ohel, Tefach on Tefach, maybe as a Tumah. That's Shita number one. That's Rav Huna. Shita number two, Rav Chisdan Rabba Bar Rav Huna, say four Tfachim. Because throughout Judaism, it can only be a Makom Choshev when it's four Tfachim. Apparently, Rav Chisdan Rabba Bar Rav Huna are saying that Tumah, the halach of one tefach as a ohel for Tumah, yeah, that's a special din in Tumah. But it's not a ohel choshev. It's not like a significant area. For Tumah, it has different rules. But throughout Torah, to be an ohel choshev has to be four tefachim. That's what they say. The third shita is Shmuel. Shmuel says that if the upper sukkah is 10 tefachim above the lower sukkah, then it's called a sukkah gabe sukkah. Less than 10 tefachim, it's not a sukkah gabe sukkah. And Shmuel uses the expression kach sheira kach psula. Just like you want to make a sukkah kosher, you need 10 tefachim. So also to passel the lower sukkah, you need 10 tefachim. So far, so good? Let's pause, ladies. How do we understand this machlokas? Okay, shitas number one and two are relatively the same, I think. That they are saying how much space does it have to be between upper sukkah and lower sukkah? Well, either one tefach or four tefach. The question is, what's considered significant? Is it significance with respect to tumah, or is it significance that I have b'chala teira kula? But what does Shmuel hold? Does anyone want to take a stab at it, or what does Shmuel hold?
Shmuel holds that in order for whatever is on top to be the structure of a sukkah, it also needs to conform to the halakha of sukkah. So it needs to be 10 tefachim from...
Nechon. Meaning...
Okay. Here is my question. Does that mean it has to be 10 tefachim built up from the lower sukkah? Effectively? Okay.
Yeah. So in other words, if I have, this is my lower sukkah and this is my upper sukkah, right? There has to be 10 tefachim space between my ritva and my cell phone, between my lower sukkah and my upper sukkah to make it a problem.
You mean the shva?
It's not a problem. This would mean one of two things. It could be that Shmuel is fundamentally saying the same thing as Rav Huna and Rav Chista, which is that in order for the upper sukkah to invalidate the lower sukkah, there has to be a significant amount of space between them. It's just that Shmuel has a different shiur, a different measurement as to how I define what a significant space is. Shmuel says that for sukkah purposes, a significant space is 10 tefachim. But on a conceptual level, Shmuel is agreeing that the issue at hand is I need a significant space between them, or else I view it like it's all one schach level. That's one possibility. Possibility number two, however, is that positions one and two, Rav Huna and Rav Chista, we'll call them, they hold that the din is schach tachas schach is a problem. How high does something have to be to be called schach? One tefach or four tefachim? Shmuel says, no, it's not a din that schach tachas schach, it's a din sukkah tachas sukkah. Right? What Shmuel is saying is that unless that upper sukkah has 10, unless that upper thing, I'll say it like this, unless that upper thing is a sukkah, it can't invalidate the lower level. It could be a full-fledged ceiling, but ceilings don't passel. Sukkahs passel. Rav Huna and Rav Chista are saying that if I have a sukkah under a ceiling, it's a problem. And they're defining how high does it have to be a ceiling. 1 tefach, 4 tefachim. But Shmuel is disagreeing on a fundamental level. Shmuel is saying that the only time it's pasul is if it is a sukkah tachas hasukkah. Okay, so there are two possibilities. Either Shmuel agrees conceptually that the issue is, right, how high does something have to be a ceiling? Alternatively, he's disagreeing in the understanding of this halacha. Let me prove to you that the second possibility is accurate, or I'll let you prove it to me. The second possibility is accurate. There are diyukim in Rashi that the second possibility is more accurate than the first.
I was just going to say that the challenge of Tanan Rabbi Yehuda kind of indicates that it's the second one. I know we didn't read that yet.
In other words,
the fact that Rabbi Yehuda talks about...
In other words, what you're saying is that the continuation of the Gemara, where we have this discussion, can the upper sukkah hold a bed or something like that? Right, you get the impression that the issue is it an upper sukkah? It's not just a din in the ceiling. Maybe or maybe not. Maybe the idea is if it can't hold a bed, so it's just viewed like it's one level. It's not like the, remember, between level one and level two, I have something called, it's called the floor ceiling. It's a ceiling for the lower level and the floor for the upper one. But if it doesn't hold anything, it's neither a floor nor a ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'll wait till you read it because I'm kind of stuck in reading it a certain way.
Hold on that. But let's look for a diuk in Rashi over here. That Shmuel is saying something different than Rav Huna and Rav Chista. So, not 1,000,000% sure. But if you look in the first wide line, Rashi writes tefach, butzer me tefach is chad schachahu. Less than a tefach is 1 schach. Okay, grand. Next, skip to the Rashi, kech shera, kech psula. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's like the sixth wide line. The psula is, mishum shtei sukos pasla kra. V'chi les be'oyona hechsher sukkah lav sukkah hivalo pasla. If the upper one does not have the hechsher sukkah, it's not a sukkah and it can't pasla it. You get the impression from Rashi, the way he's saying is that according to Shmuel, the upper one has to be a sukkah. This would mean as follows, and the Prima Gadim makes the point. I have a lower sukkah. I have an upper schach. The upper schach is just hanging there. I don't have walls, really. Or I don't have kosher walls. I just have upper schach that's suspended. But it's not kosher walls. Would that passel the lower sukkah? If the halacha is sukkah tachas schach, so then it could be it's a psul. The Prima Gadim thinks that the din is sukkah tachas sukkah. And since the din is sukkah tachas sukkah, according to Shmuel, so therefore you need walls for the upper one. The upper one has to be 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. It needs all of the rules of a sukkah. Right? And that's what Rashi says. Lesba be'oyona hechsher sukkah. The upper one has to have kashrus of a sukkah. Das meint, it's gotta be 7x7 with walls, all grand. Right? That's the simple reading of Rashi. Again, obviously, like everything in Judaism, some people disagree, but this is the Pashtus. So far, so good? Oh. Now let's move on to the next piece of Gemara, the piece that Tanya wanted to talk about already. Tnan, four lines before the lines get wide. Right? In our Mishnah, we learned that Rabbi Yehuda said, "Im ein diurin ba'oyon al tachtonik sheira." Right? If there's no diurin, people don't live in the upper sukkah, the bottom is kosher. So the Gemara asks, "My ein diurin, what does that mean? Ilei ma diurin mamish." Right? If it means that people actually live there, atu diurin kagarmi. Do people living there create the problem? The halacha is a sukkah tachas hasukkah. Rabbi Yehuda says, if the upper one does not have people living there, so the lower one is kosher. So Zach Digmar, it can't be that the upper one really needs people to be there, like real human beings with their pitter-patter of their feet. You don't need that. Atu diurin kagarmi. You think it's the fact that people live there? That's what's significant? That can't be. Ella lav, my ein diurin, means kosher eino re'uya ledira. What Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that the upper sukkah is not re'uya ledira. If you can't live in it, then it does not invalidate the sukkah. Behechadami, what does it mean whether you can live there or not? It has to be deloga v'la asara, whether it's 10 tefachim tall or not. Right, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that upper sukkah only invalidates the lower sukkah if it's livable, right? Livable conditions. Some people say that some of the apartments in the Heights might not have livable conditions. Not like you squash like 23 people into a tiny whatever. Okay, we won't go there. But zakt Rabbi Yehuda, that the upper sukkah only invalidates the lower sukkah if it's livable. Read 10 tefachim. But the Tanakhama says that even if it's not 10 tefachim, it still invalidates it. Right? Why? Because the Tanakhama holds it's going to be a problem even if it's not a real sukkah, right? Again, maybe this is what Tanya is referring to beforehand. Rabbi Yehuda holds, in order to be a problem, it has to be tachas ha-sukkah. It has to be diurin ba'oyona. It has to be something you could live in. It has to be a real sukkah. Tanakhama say, no, it's a problem even if it's not 10 tefachim tall at the top. Well, if that's the case, then the Tanakhama would be against Shmuel. And that's the issue that the Gemara raises.
Now, Shmuel can't go with the Das Yachid, like he has to go with the Tanakhama.
Yeah. I mean, Rav Huna, Rav Chis, the Gemara has like a halacha lemaisa question. How much space does there have to be? The Gemara answers 1/4 of 10. Right? They're speaking halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, Rabbi Yehuda's going to lose. Right? So it can't be that Shmuel is only going according to Rabbi Yehuda.
I just remember one time we read Rashi and we're like, oh, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So then I always kept that in the back of my mind that maybe we, but that we don't have.
I don't recall the Rashi that you're referring to. If you'll show it to me, we could like, by the way, I do like it when, you know, the sheer WhatsApp group presents like a question, like, for example, where did we have something about Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim? It's really tempting for me to jump in sometimes, but I'm very happy that like the Chevra found it without my assistance. So, okay, we'll just leave it like that. So the Gemara says, you get the impression that the Tanakhama would hold its kosher even though it's not 10 tfachim tall. That means that the Tanakam is against Shmuel. That would mean that Shmuel is wrong. So the Gemara answers, Ki asa Ravdimi Amar Amri B'marava. When Ravdimi came always means that he came to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael. Right? When Ravdimi came to Bavel, he said that in Eretz Yisrael, they say, Im en hatachtona yecholo lekabo karim uksasas shel elyona hatachtona ksheira. That the issue is if the bottom one cannot support, we'll translate karmuksasas now as the pillows and blankets of the upper one. So then the lower one is kosher. Michlal, the Tanakama Saba, Afapish Einaruya, Lekabel, Psula. Rav Dimi says as follows. He says, we have to reinterpret Rabbi Yehuda. What Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that if the lower sukkah is not strong enough to support the pillows and blankets of the upper sukkah, so then the upper sukkah cannot invalidate the lower sukkah. Upper sukkah can only invalidate the lower sukkah if the upper sukkah can hold pillows and blankets. The Gemara then comments, Michlal, that would imply that the Tanakhama would hold that even if the upper sukkah cannot hold pillows and blankets, it can still create a problem. And Rashi explains that holding pillows and blankets really means, can people live there? So the Tanakhama would be saying, oh, the upper sukkah is not livable. It can't hold pillows and blankets. Well, if it can't hold pillows and blankets and it's not livable, that's functionally the same thing as being less than 10 tfachim. Right? Because there's only one issue, whether the upper sukkah is a livable sukkah or not livable sukkah. So what exactly is this dispute over here? Okay, so you're telling me it means, is it livable? But then that would imply the Tanakhama holds less than 10 tfachim. You say, oh, it's not less than 10 tfachim. It's really a halacha in whether you could support pillows. Well, the Gemara asks, it's the same thing. So, enfert the Gemara. Ika beinayu diyichola lekabel al yidei hadchak. The nafkamina is, if the upper sukkah can hold pillows and blankets with difficulty. In other words, you could put a futon on the upper sukkah, but you can't put a cot there, right? Or you certainly can't put like a regular bed frame.
That doesn't sound Roi Ladira.
What?
It doesn't sound Roi Ladira.
So it is Roi Ladira. It's Roi Ladira Ayudei Hadachak. With difficulty, you know, like, I don't know, there are people who crash at their friend's apartment and they will sleep on the couch, or they'll like take like some, a futon, or they'll just sleep on a beanbag. I don't know, right? Like a very light thing. That's Yechol Lekava Yedei Hadachak. The Tanakhama holds that the lower sukkah is going to be pasul so long as it is possible to live in the upper sukkah. Even if it's only livable al yedei hadchak, even if you could only be there with difficulty, still, that's good enough for the Tana, right? That's good enough to passel the lower sukkah for the Tanakhama. But Rabbi Yehuda says that the upper sukkah only invalidates the lower sukkah if you could live in the upper sukkah like mention. If you could live there, you could live there in a reasonable, normal way, then the upper sukkah invalidates the lower sukkah, if not, not. Good? What does this machlokas depend upon? Oh, Rachel, okay. You should ask questions before I ask questions. So you have a question, Rachel. How are you?
Yeah, so when we're describing here with the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda saying it's pasul, We're also taking into account the discussion we just had about sometimes the bottom one won't invalidate, the top one won't invalidate the bottom one.
Correct.
Okay. So in there's just, words, yeah.
Right. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said that sometimes the top sukkah will not invalidate this, the lower sukkah if the top sukkah cannot have diurin. What that means, according to the way the Gemara is explaining it now, is if the top sukkah can only have people live in it, if you could only live there with difficulty, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, the bottom sukkah is kosher. According to the Tanna Kamma, since people can live there, even with difficulty, that passes the bottom sukkah.
But it will only pass the bottom sukkah. Meaning, like, discussions we had before were all about sukkah, al-gabe sukkah, and now they're just trying to define what that was. But in a case where the, let's say, what was it? The third case that we were talking about with the top one has more sun than shade, and the bottom one has more shade than sun, even if, like, whoever's living there, it doesn't really matter because we're considering it a sukkah.
Okay. So
what do they mean when they're saying it's mefasal?
Let's say the bottom sukkah is more shade than sun and the top sukkah is more shade than sun. So in that situation, the top sukkah should passel the bottom sukkah, right? Only the top sukkah is kosher, bottom sukkah is passel. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the top sukkah will not invalidate the bottom sukkah if the top sukkah cannot easily support a mattress and a pillow. If it's not easy to support a mattress and a pillow, the top sukkah does not invalidate the bottom sukkah.
Oh, okay.
Right? So we're talking about a case that they're both more shade than sun, Adkan. Now, did any of you have a chance to take a look at the Rush? No one. Okay. Let's turn to the Rush. Let's do it together. The Rush over here is Simon Tesvav. Actually, this Rush is very long. But we'll read, I guess, the first seven. I hope we'll be able to read the first six, seven lines together. And that should be enough for tonight. Gemara. Right, you see Simon Tesvav, first he quotes the Mishnah, that's not so exciting. Gemara. Ki asa Rav Dimi Amar Ami Brma Rava, im ein hatachton yecholo lekaba karim uksasas sha'ol yona, hatachton akshera. That if the upper sukkah cannot hold pillows, blankets, etc., right, then the bam sukkah is kosher. Va'af rabbonon modu baha, dekiman delasadamya. The Rabbanan, the Tanna Kamma, also agree that if the upper sukkah cannot hold pillows and blankets, so the upper sukkah does not exist. Command the lesser damya. It doesn't exist. Ella depligi biyicholu lekabel ayudei hadachak. The machlokas is when the upper sukkah can hold this stuff, albeit with difficulty. Rabbanan savri. Kevan yecholim leishev ala hatachtona al yedei hadechak ve'le'echol be'elyona mikri ha'elyona suka u'mifsala hatachtona mishum suka tachas suka. Reb Yehuda says kevan she'eno yechol le'echol be'elyona ala yedei hadechak lo mikri suka li'pasel hatachtona. Okay, what do you notice striking about what the Rush said so far? I just read it. Striking in the sense of it's different than what Rashi said.
Well, Rash, is it that Rashi said if the upper one is not a kosher sukkah, it can't passel? Or is that, yeah.
They're both saying if the upper one is not a kosher sukkah, it cannot passel. And the machlokas is when the upper one can be used, al yidei hadachak. But the way the Rush says it is the upper sukkah usable al yidei hadachak to eat there? No? Now, what are you talking about eating? Pillows, blankets. I know there are people who eat in bed. I understand. My mother as a kid used to like not get, she was not happy with me when I used to like steal the cookies and eat them in bed in my bedroom. One of my children does this. Ariel Mazet. Guess it runs in the family. But generally speaking, a bed is not for eating. Agreed? Maybe. And Rashi writes, Rashi writes that pillows and blankets are for sleeping on. The Rush says pillows and blankets are for eating. Now, I don't know how pillows and blankets means eating. I have no idea. But I do know that this Machlokes Rashi and Rush are talking about eating or sleeping. Yeah.
Oh, I was just saying that the Teshvu Kein Toduru is eating and sleeping. So maybe that's how it happened.
Okay, so maybe it's not such a machlokes, because you have to eat and sleep in the sukkah. That's the mitzvah. But let me ask, what's the main mitzvah of the sukkah? Eating in the sukkah or sleeping in the sukkah?
Eating.
Eating. How do you know?
Because you make a bracha.
You make a bracha on eating. You don't make a bracha when you go to sleep in the sukkah. The Rabbeinu Tam, it's quoted in the Russian Parak Dal and Siman Gimel. Rabbeinu Tam says, I don't make a bracha when I go to sleep on the sukkah. It's really interesting because just like there's a halach of ikar and tafel, when I eat my cereal in the morning, right? So I don't make a bracha on the milk. I only make a bracha on the cereal because the milk is tafel to the cereal, right? The Rabbeinu Tam says that sleeping is tafel to eating, right? That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. It's an interesting idea that there's a din of Ikar and Tafel by Birchas HaMitzvos, not only by Birchas HaNehenen. Okay, that's... So on the one hand, eating is the major mitzvah in sukkah. On the other hand, I am allowed to eat outside of the sukkah, no? I just spent an entire yontif, basically, and I ate outside of the sukkah. What did I do? I didn't eat bread and mizonos more than kibetza, no? Achilas arai is permitted outside of a sukkah. Technically speaking, me ikar hadin, shenas arai is forbidden outside of a sukkah. You can't take a power nap outside of the sukkah, me ikar hadin. Again, in our world, we don't really sleep in the sukkah as we should.
Chabad bichlal doesn't sleep in the sukkah. Chabad bichlal doesn't sleep in the sukkah.
Chabad bichlal doesn't sleep in the sukkah because... When the Anti Rebbe tried to sleep in the sukkah, he saw the Ur HaGunus, he saw that light that Kadosh Baruch Hu had from before on day in Parshas Bereishis, this past week's Parsha. Hashem has light, Vayhi Ur on day one, but the sun and the moon is until day four. So there's something called the Ur HaGunus. When the Alter Rebbe went to sleep in the sukkah, he saw the Ur HaGunus. So the Hasidim, since the Alter Rebbe are mitzta'er, It bothers them that when they go to sleep in the sukkah, they don't see the Ur HaGunus. Even if that doesn't bother them, they're bothered by the fact that they're not bothered. This is like a Lubavitcher Shtickel Torah. Whatever. I feel I'm entitled to kind of make some jokes about Chabad. I have seven generations of Chabad blood in me. But I still daven the Sukkari. But the point is, the point is that the Rush is saying that the issue is the eating. Rashi is saying the issue is sleeping. Perhaps, and Rabbi Yosef Engel in his Goyone Ashas over here suggests this idea. Perhaps the machlokas is, what is the Iker mitzvah of sukkah? On the one hand, the bracha is on eating. On the other hand, we're more machmir on sleeping. Perhaps that's the machlokas between Rashi and the Rush. That's the first point. Next point, let's just go on in this rush. right? So Rabbi Yehuda says, since you can't eat in the Elyona Ela Ayideya Dechak, it's not a sukkah. Why? Says the Rush, Rabbi Yehuda Latamei Debeinan Diras Keva V'Rabbanan Latamayhu. Right? This is quoting from a riff. It's really bringing something very beautiful out. It's like, oh, you see the word Reb Yehuda? I remember that word Reb Yehuda. I had Reb Yehuda in Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Right? And Reb Yehuda says, fundamentally, we had it in Daf Beis, we had it a number of times, a bunch of Tanayim, Daf Vav. We had a whole bunch of Tanayim hold that Sukkah is Diras Keva. Right?
My Chavrusa was reading the Gemara with the Keva Arai. So,
oh, yeah. Cool. Rachel, yeah. That's what you were doing? That's great. Right, that you're mechamen to the riff, and the rush is pulling the riff. Absolutely. In other words, I personally would never have done this in a million years. I never would have made this connection. But the Reb Yehuda says that the upper sukkah cannot passel the lower sukkah. If the upper sukkah can only hold a futon, it can't have a real bed. So the upper sukkah cannot be diras keva. If it's not diras keva, it's not a sukkah. If it's not a sukkah, it's not a sukkah tachas a sukkah, and they can't passel the bottom one. That is the Gemara as understood by the Rif and the Rush. And the continuation of the Rush, maybe we should focus on the Hemshech and the continuation of the Rush next week. But the continuation of the Rush basically is using this as an idea that we are really paskening like Rava's idea on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, right? Rava says that sukkah over 20 is a problem because of Diras Keva. Reb Yehuda says sukkah over 20 is okay because of Diras Keva, right? Do I pass it like Rava? Do I pass it like Reb Zera or Rava, etc.? So our Gemara and Daf Yud, tucked away in the middle of nowhere, our Gemara and Daf Yud is the Raya that we pass it like Rava, not like the other two approaches. That is Judaism according to the Rif quoted by the Rush. I gave you the Rif, just the Rush, not the Rif, because it's just easier to read over here. With the Rif, you have to like turn pages. Okay, any questions, comments? See, here's the thing. Rachel Sklar is very quiet during Shir all the time. But then Rachel's Chavrusa says that like she has these awesome ideas during Seder. And she's like mechaven to everything. So maybe you should share some of your wisdom with me also sometimes. Okay. Chavra, any questions, comments? Okay, so Mirtz Hashem will...
I don't know how to say the word. In terms of learning Gemara, how would we have known that Detanan Rabbi Yehuda was only a challenge on Shmuel and wasn't dealing with all three opinions? Is there any clue aside from the content?
I mean, the content of the Gemara, we're speaking about Gavoa Asara. So that's within, that seems like within Shmuel. But if you read the continuation of the Rush, he will present the possibility that you're not saying, but you're thinking. Right? In other words, it could be that those lines in the Gemara are not only within Shmuel, that maybe those lines of the Gemara are also within the other Shitos. But the Rush will pick up on that. He doesn't think that approach is reasonable, but he will discuss it. Okay, ladies.
Are we going to pick up? Oh, yeah. Are we going to pick up with the Rush next week?
I hope so. Okay. I mean, unless people want to do something
else. No.
I want to go through this Rush with you. There's a lot in this Rush. I think there's, even if I don't have any chidushim, it's just kedai to go through the Rush. It's like an important source. Okay. Have a good evening, Chevra. Keep the faith.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Have a good night.